Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Mullen. Welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. This series of podcasts is dedicated to helping parents and other people who are connected with children help children behave and be their best. I'm in a unique position to share this with you because I've been a child counselor and play therapist for nearly 25 years. I've also been a mom. I learned many of the lessons about working with children, connecting to children from my own children and my child clients. It's informed my parenting as well as the parent coaching and consulting that I do as part of my clinical practice. I recognize working with thousands of children and parents that there are some simple principles for parenting. I'll cover more than 20 principles for blissful parenting so you too can have freakishly well-behaved kids. The principles you'll notice are simple and yet life-altering. They'll change and enhance the relationships you have with children, how children actually behave, you making those changes impact the way your children behave, how you feel about yourself around children, and improve your overall parenting esteem. In this podcast, I'm going to either talk about a specific principle or lesson and how you can apply it. This one's really interesting, so stay tuned. There's special guests. And this one's very special that will further our conversations about parenting and children. Also, my new book that was influenced by this podcast and the conversations I had here called Raising Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids is available. It's available on ebook, audiobook, particularly because of the person I'm talking to, and in print. So check us out at www.integrativecounseling.us. You could also find it on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and that kind of thing as well. Also at that integrative website, we have lots of resources and web courses for both parents and professionals. So let me tell you about my guest today. He's a very special person. It's actually my brother. So welcome, Rory.
Hi.
Hi. So the reason why I'm talking to Rory is that Rory is a stay-at-home dad, and he gets, and I actually, when I'm talking about him, get a lot of reaction and response to that. And so we hear last time, last podcast, we talked to a new working mom, and so I just figured we'd sort of round that out a little bit with talking to a stay-at-home dad. One of the things that I said earlier was that we would weave in some of the principles because Rory is really amazing at taking those principles that are in the book Raising Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids and using them with his children. And then the other piece that I said about Rory in the intro is that he was part of the impetus for me creating an audio book because he doesn't love to read. So anyway, but he did read the book and I know it. There's proof. So anyway, Rory, I just wanted to start with maybe telling us a little bit about what it's just like on a day-to-day basis for you as a stay-at-home dad. What is your day like?
Pretty much starts with getting them, Lila, getting them ready after once they get up, get mm-hmm. one to the bus stop, start the car for the wife. then we go get one to school. It all depends on the day that it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to drive them both to school, and then I have a couple hours to myself, like today. There's other days where I have to drive one to school and then come back, take the other one to speech.
Right.
Do some errands. I do laundry in the clean, make their beds, pretty much everything.
Right. Yeah.
So for instance, this morning, I drove them both to school. I came back. I already threw in two loads of laundry. Emptied the dishes from the dish drain and put those away. Right. Made myself breakfast. Cleaned up the living room a little bit, and that's pretty much where we are in a continuation of that.
Okay. Well, and then you were just telling me before we started this that you just fed the chickens as well. So,
care of the animals. Chickens. I'm sorry for interrupting. We have chickens, rabbits, and ducks that we take care of also.
Yeah. So it keeps you busy. So one of the things that I was thinking of as you were just, you know, saying all that is that it sounds like one of the things that helps your day and helps the children as well is keeping a routine. It's like, you know how it's going to go pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does help.
So how did you even how did you establish that? Or does it just naturally kind of happen?
Pretty much just naturally happens that, you know, the day of the week, and you just got to get it going, because if it's not done, it's still, you know, it's got to get done eventually. So you just have to keep on just going through it.
Okay. So that's definitely, I mean, one of the principles that are is in Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids that we talk about is being able to maintain some stability and consistency. And so that's really helpful to you as a parent, but that's also really helpful to your children. And I think what I hear you saying is that you're able to do that, you know, is that even on a day that one goes to school and the other doesn't, or the one who doesn't go to school as much goes to speech, it's that you still have a routine in there so that there's things that your kids can count on, but also things that you can count on too.
Yes.
Yeah. So what have been some of the challenges?
When snow days, when they're at home, sometimes just too much togetherness and arguing.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
Excuse me?
I said, just how old are your kids?
One, she'll be 8 in May, and one will be 5 in the end of January. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have some of that like typical sibling stuff that happens, and having them both home all day, for instance, on a snow day or something like that, that can get overwhelming.
Yeah. But then they'll have a couple minutes where they're going at it or something like that. Then we'll figure out what's going on and discuss the problem. And then they'll have their own little alone time or whatever they need to do to relax. And then they're 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, depending on their best friends again and playing.
Right. So it sounds like one of the strategies for you is when you are managing the two of them at the same time, and they're not getting along in a developmentally appropriate way, is that you are talking to them about like, wait, what's going on here? So really talking to your children about that and allowing them to speak to you about that as well. But then recognizing that for your kids, separating them and having some alone time is really what they need. And then they can come back and reconnect and be playful and doing the things that 8 and 5 year olds, you know, really flourish at.
Yes, exactly. Because my daughter will go up in her room after a while. I'll talk to her, and then she'll be frustrated. I'll try to recognize how she's feeling. And then in a couple minutes, I'll just leave her alone. And the next thing you know, you usually hear her like singing or something like that in her room, or playing with the cat. And then she works her way downstairs and she'll be singing or something. It'll be gone. Like it was nothing.
It's over. Yeah. And also, so I just wanted to highlight too that like you're talking about another principle there, being able to recognize your child's feelings and, you know, share that with them. So recognizing that she's frustrated, and it is, you know, again, developmentally appropriate for her 3 years older than her brother to become frustrated with him. Like that's how it works, and him with her, you know, as well. So another thing that I was thinking of, you know, actually, one, personally, but two, professionally, is like, do you get any flack for being a stay-at-home dad? Like, do people say things to you? What is that like?
Yes and no. It all depends. Some people just look at it like, even my friends are like, oh, you have the easiest thing going on, or you don't do anything, or...
Right.
I don't really care, because I love hanging out with my kids. I enjoy doing the stuff around the house. Like, it needs to get done, and we're in a position that we can. So I'm taking, take advantage of the situation and enjoy hanging out with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, when you say like, they don't think you do anything, then, you know, and that you don't like even get into it with them. You don't feel like you have to prove yourself and be like, oh, really? This is what I do.
Yeah, no, they know what I do. They just don't I just don't know if they agree with like that. I don't bring in the money or the
right.
major breadwinner, but I do something on the side. And when I do make my money, I put that to the family also. So it's not like
right.
I don't do things.
Right. There's multiple ways that you contribute to your family. So I think in some ways that's, you know, part of, you know, what comes up is that it sounds like that could come up for other stay-at-home dads. Are you connected to other stay-at-home dads, like either directly or through social media or anything like that?
One of my good friends that I've met since we moved up here is a stay-at-home dad. And works
mm-hmm.
Nights and stuff like that, but spends most of the time with his kids in the mornings and as such.
Yeah.
So we've talked and we both understand, and you know we're friends because of that.
Right. That's what connects you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it that you would want other families who may be considering having one parent stay at home know about that? Like, you know, let me ask you it this way, Rory. What are some of the benefits that you can see in your own children about you being a stay-at-home dad?
Well, first off, I guess that whenever they need me, if they need me for school, if my daughter needs me to bring her a snack or she forgets something or she needs something at school or she's sick, I'm there
mm-hmm.
and I can pick her up without hesitation or anything. She's I just think they recognize it and they enjoy it.
Yeah. And so,
you know, maybe they realize that they don't have to, where some of their friends go to after school and time and not able to spend their time with their dad, or their dad doesn't pick them up or their mom or whoever. And
right.
I think they just enjoy it and know that no matter what, I'm here.
Yeah. Is that it's not even something that they have to worry about. Like, and I can parallel it to my kids because both of us are in my household are working parents, and we work, although we both, my husband and I have flexibility with our, some flexibility with our schedules. There have been times where we're both, you know, sort of teaching at the university, and it's not like I can just walk out of a class. I can't even be contacted, you know, during a class, and neither could he. So if my kids and you and I both live in areas where the weather is an issue, so it's like if they're closing school early, you know, it could have been for me and my partner that we don't even know about it, and you know, then there's some anxiety that happens both for our kids and then later for us when we learn about it. But one of the things you're saying is like that's not a thing in your family.
No, because even when we have the 2-hour delays,
mm-hmm.
There's no worry because she'll get to school. She'll get to the bus in time, and my son will get to speech if it's on like a, say, on the days that he has speech.
Right.
And my wife will, no worries, she'll get her thing. She'll be getting to work and not have to worry about staying or losing time or not missing a meeting because she has to stay and drop the kids off or something like that.
And I think, too, you know, even as you're saying that, is one of the things that, you know, has really, and my kids are way older, so I have an 18 and a 15-year-old, is that, you know, one of the things that happened for us as working parents a lot was that there would be a 2-hour delay or there, you know, something like that would happen. And we would, or there'd be half days, you know, some on the school calendar, sometimes there's half days. And, you know, I would just, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but I guess so because my daughter's already in college. I would just let them stay home because it was easier to have my kids home than to have to manage the half day. Like the half day was actually way more difficult for us working traditional hours. And I think that that's a, you know, certainly I heard among other working parents that, you know, those half days, for example, are just really challenging with typical work schedules and a job where you don't have flexibility. And, you know, so it's super cool that you are like able to do that. And it's, you know, like it's not a worry for you, for your wife, or for your kids.
Yeah, no, the half days, like, we get the half days too, where they have early release. And yeah, there's usually no worries about it.
Right.
And, or because I give her a choice. She could either go to the library and for with the after school and do what crafts and stuff at the library, and then they'll pick her up, like I would pick her up at school.
Yeah.
Or she could come straight home, or I could pick her up, or I could do whatever, or I could pick her up and go out to lunch, or I could do whatever we want.
Right. Well, the other thing is cool, Rory, that is that in so much of what you talk about are embedded these principles. And I think this is exactly what I'm talking about in the book for Raising Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. It's like a lot of this stuff parents are already doing, and now it's just like recognizing what you're doing that's working and recognizing how you can do something either better or differently. And so right there, you're just talking about another principle. You're talking about giving your child some choices, but not overwhelming them with choices, you know? So you can either stay after or come home. That's a pretty easy one. Or you can come home and we can bake cookies, or you can come home and we can do crafts, you know? So I think just being able to weave those things in also, you know, certainly keeps your kids grounded and centered. What are some of the things that you really think, I asked what you thought benefited your children. What do you think benefits you personally being a stay-at-home dad?
Time with the kids, like in all honesty, it's fun. Because I look around at other friends or other people, and one of my friends works 80 hours a week, and has commute, so almost in commuting and stuff like that, where he only gets 3 hours, you know, he eats dinner real fast, puts him to bed, and that's it. Or
right.
He has on the weekend, he only has a couple, you know, where he always works or something. I get that time, I could enjoy, and we have our choices.
Yeah.
We could go to the museum, we could just hikes or whatever and just have fun.
Yeah. What are some
do
of
something
your
different.
Things? Yeah. What are some of your favorite things that you have done recently with your kids?
My son and I went for a hike in our woods, and which was pretty fun, exploring some of the stuff that was there.
Uh-huh.
And what else have we done? We took a road trip recently and took him on the ferry. What did we do? Yes, we've done a sleepover recently. We've done, what else? They built, or they started decorating the house.
Right.
They did Hanukkah stuff. They did... I think they did. They painted last night.
Yeah, so they're really
painted, so that was fun.
You guys are like a very much a doing family then. So you keep them really moving and grooving then.
Yes and no. They have their times where they sit and watch TV and stuff, and where we do things. But I can't really sit still for long. So we'll do.
Yeah, so you try to really balance that out, keeping them busy with also giving them time to just sort of chill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so, they could get to watch a show, and then but then they have to go play whatever, anywhere, do something, and then they could come back a couple hours later.
Oh, yeah, so you're just sort of monitoring that screen time with them as well.
Yeah,
so I have
as much as we can.
Yeah, right. I know it's challenging. So that just made me think of another question too, is, you know, one of the things that I talk a lot about in terms of working with children, but also just being with children, whether they're your own or your nieces and nephews and or your grandchildren, whatever, is that children are really good teachers, that there's so much that we can learn from being around them. And so I guess I'm wondering, if you can think of anything, any lessons, like life lessons or otherwise, that your children have taught you.
I think look at things a little slower, try to get their perspective.
Yeah. So tell me what you mean by that.
When they play, or when they, we went down to Long Island this weekend, and Henry saw all the lights and was like, wow, there's so many lights. It's so bright here. And it was just interesting to look at it that way, to see how exciting it must have been, or how crazy it must have been compared to how dark it is where we live.
Right. So living in a more rural area, you don't have that. And so just so part of the lesson was just like seeing it through his eyes. It's just so things can be so different, and the way he understands them is different. How do you think that that impacts how you parent?
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to, like, positioning, I guess, like, if I don't want to stand over him or something like that. It's like, mm-hmm. so small, try to get a little lower, because it's, I think, like, looking up at someone would be more fearsome in a way or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I try to just get down and talk to him a little better.
Yeah.
So I with things like their perspectives like that, or just how they want to be, they want to be talked to, you know, you talk to them the same way you want to be talked to.
Yeah. So just being really respectful of your children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
giving them their boundaries, giving them the respect, and you'll get it back.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that just, I wish all people who are connected to children would understand, you know, really understand, is that, like, when you are respectful to them, they will be respectful to you back. It really is a give and take, you know, kind of thing. So what's something that you're really proud of in terms of your parenting, like, as a dad? What's something that you can say, like, you know what I'm really proud of about being a dad and raising your children?
The compliments from, I say, like, teachers and stuff like that, that they're very well behaved, they're very good, they're social, they're helpful, their manners, and and they've also said, like, some of the teachers have also thanked me being a stay-at-home dad to being available for them at times.
Oh, so you go in
and
so, like, you go in and help in the classroom or do things like other activities that they have at the school?
Yeah, like we did stone soup. So I made the soup and went to the school and passed it around for my daughter's class.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher was like, thanks for being a stay-at-home dad and being able to do this.
Yeah. So some of it, too, is like the novelty is that there's not, you know, there's not a lot of stay-at-home parents anymore, you know, according to, like, the workforce data, but there's even fewer stay-at-home dads than there are stay-at-home moms in heterosexual relationships. So that's what, you know, so you're an anomaly, you know, in that way, you're something really different. You just, sometimes you feel proud about that is, I think, what you're saying.
Definitely, because so I think also when I make plans, I usually have to make plans with all the moms and not the dads. So I try to do that, but also I think that they see that and they're like, wow, you know, he does a pretty good job without any assistance when he's out, or able to hold his own, that he could do pretty much everything that I could do except certain things.
Right. Yeah, breastfeeding's off. So
yeah, I'm not there yet.
Yeah. So what's that part like? What's that part like of being, if you're with the other stay-at-home or parents with flexible schedules or who work part-time or work, only in the home, that you said you're dealing with mostly moms. So what is that like from your perspective? That's interesting to me.
I don't know. It's, sometimes I think it's tough, like just because the moms will of course gravitate to the moms and stuff, and I try to get my kids involved. But I make the plans with them, and I don't know, just, you know, and I don't really know. it's a tough one.
That's fair. No, I think one of the things that I didn't tell you would be some of the questions I would ask you might be difficult. But, you know, one of the things that I was thinking of, you know, just in terms of that, is that I'm going to take some credit here, perhaps having two older sisters who makes that an easier task for you as somebody who doesn't have sisters or, you know, other women in their lives besides their partner, if they even have a partner who's female. So I just definitely think that would be a challenging thing, because that, you know, there is going to be some you know, we have bias around
I'm not trying to hit on them. I'm just want my, right. you know, your kids in my kids' class. So let's get them together. Let's go
yeah.
have some fun, you know, bring them sledding or do something, you know, let
right.
come over, hang out, come sledding also, or drop them off or meet at the library, meet at, you know, try to do something. It's not like I'm asking
yeah.
them out, but sometimes you feel like that in a way because,
right.
like, how people would perceive, you know, some people could perceive it, however, but,
right.
You know, and with, I guess, with saying the two older sisters make it more comfortable and, in a way.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I really, I'll take some credit. Well, I really appreciate that you honestly share that, because I do think that you know, certainly that could be something that people think or grapple with, and maybe it's not even, you know, the moms that you're trying to connect with themselves, but maybe it's some of the other people in the community and whatever. And it sounds like you're. It goes back to one of the first things I asked you, is like that you're like, it's whatever, this is what I do. And so I'm not going to let other people's stereotypes or biases get in the way of how, you know, that I'm not going to not invite a kid that my kid wants to play with and their parent to come sledding because it might look weird to other people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, pretty much. Yeah, I'd say that sounds right.
Yeah. So I want to, we just have a few minutes left, and I wanted to read something that your wife and partner wrote about you and just get your take on that. So if I may, I'm just going to read this. And this is only a part of what she wrote. She wrote, you know, like I shared with you prior to us coming on the podcast, is it was really beautiful. So I just want to share it. So she said, I pursue my career full-time and Rory is a stay-at-home dad. This arrangement works well for us as we both prioritize our children and family and feel grateful that we have the resources. Rory works hard to take care of the kids in our home, acting as a wealth of support to all of us. As a working mother, it's a huge relief to not have to worry about childcare. Rory facilitates much of the domestic tasks so that I can focus on my demanding career. I couldn't do this without his generous contribution to our family. His time at home has strengthened his relationship with both of our children, a privilege we don't take for granted. So is there anything, I kind of want to let that sit for a second, but is there anything in there that really, really speaks to you, that, you know, you would want other stay-at-home parents, other parents who work, you know, as homemakers, you would want them to hear?
That was awesome what she wrote.
yeah.
that it how it does, how it makes you just a better connection with your children and stuff. Like, they've seen every emotion
mm-hmm.
that I have. They've seen, you know, but then yet I still, they've seen me cry. They've seen me laugh. They've seen me do the laundry. They see me make the beds. They see me, you know, taking care of the animals. Like, they've
right.
seen everything, and which I think is just, you know, it's which I think is good.
Yeah. I, you know, the other thing that I take out of this as a, you know, as a working mom, and there are times where my husband has more of a stay-at-home role or more of a role in terms of caretaking for the children, is this line, and I think it's so important, where she says, this arrangement works well for us as we both prioritize our children and family and feel grateful we have the resources. And so it doesn't, you know, like it takes, you know, it's the collaboration and cooperation. And I, some, you know, and I just think that sometimes people also take that part for granted, that they don't do that. So
definitely. Like, we both, yeah, this is a great arrangement and this works out well for us. I don't think a lot of my friends or a lot of people I know can do an arrangement like this.
Yeah.
But this
yeah.
actually works and we both enjoy it. And I think our kids are better off for this arrangement.
Right. And I mean, I might be a little bit biased, but when you were here visiting for Thanksgiving, they were freakishly well-behaved children as well.
well, so they were on notice.
they were. So I just want to say thanks, Lori. I really appreciate you doing this with me, and I love you very much. And I'm, you know, just so proud of you as a dad too. Like, you're just an amazing dad. So thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it, and I love you too.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye, everyone.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.